This podcast is over.
If I rate the movie lower than Andy, how is it that he's more angry about it than I am?
It's fascinating.
That's the mystery. Because were you serious about B minus?
Fortunately, I am serious about B minus. And I think that because we have now 2 hours worth of tape, I think that, or sorry, 1 hour worth of 1 hour and 36 minutes of a recording, I think it will indicate that I was not angry at any point in this. I was just simply being critical. Now, yes, I would say B, but you say that was too high or too low? Too high.
I will go with C.
Yeah, you don't sound
I could tolerate. To me, a C would mean that I have no opinion about it, positive or negative. To me, a B minus is just enough to say there are many people that I would recommend it under the right circumstances. Meaning, I'm going to go out with a few friends and just see a nice, distracting, flashy action movie with really, really great effects. On that basis, I felt as though I could recommend it. I didn't feel as though I wanted. I felt as though I'd be dishonest by saying that I have no opinion about it, you know, positive or negative. I'm slightly positive, but just that if people say, oh my God, finally they've cracked the code of making the perfect superhero movie. No, they didn't. They made something very average. Slightly above average, just enough above average to. That said, I'm glad I paid $8, not $11 to see it.
Yeah. You didn't see it. No one saw it in 3D, did they? I saw it in 2D.
No,
I specifically.
So the clams were.
I saw it in 3D because that was the only showtime that I could get to, and I hate 3D. And it was, you know, it was because it's a conversion. It actually wasn't that offensive, just because there was only so much they could do. But it's so terrible,
just unnecessary.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So Andy, the clams were okay then.
The clams didn't make him sick.
They were bland and flavorless.
But he didn't throw up.
Exactly.
This is what we're saying. He didn't throw up.
Did you chuckle out loud at any point in watching the movie, Andy? Like not ironically in the second half when
I probably did at some point. I have no conscious memory of having to. I couldn't name a single thing that made me. I'm sorry. I'm sure it would have been a lot of Robert Downey Jr.'s lines. I think would have been that final scene. I thought was pretty good.
With the
shawarma, that was a pretty good joke. The shawarma, right?
The shawarma, yeah.
I love the fact that they decided, because also knowing the budget for this movie, you know, you would respect it if they simply said, hey, let's like buy out this shawarma place and just have the actors in there for half an hour to record this. No, you know that they built that set and they had to dress it from start to finish and they had to get it. Does anybody have any theories about what was the scene that they shot like after the sneak was there was some sort of sneak preview?
I think it was the shawarma scene.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That they got a little, you know, restaurant set, and they all, which means they spent how much money to call them all back to do that stupid.
I think they made
that. You know, it's funny.
You know, the part about that though is that, you know, it struck me as so real. Like I played a 7-hour frisbee tournament yesterday, and like you finish that, you go to a restaurant, you're sitting around with the rest of your teammates, and there's a point at which everybody is just eating because they're starving. Yeah. And you're just like staring off in the distance and just eating whatever the hell is in front of you. And I'm like, they perfectly captured that scene right there.
So you're saying that fighting the Chitauri invasion of New York is more or less like playing frisbee?
I'm saying playing frisbee is harder.
It seemed very similar to me.
Probably much planning went into that
out with the frisbee.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought there were some really funny lines, some funny jokes in the movie, and I did some, you know, genuine laughing, and that's another thing that a lot of these Hollywood blockbusters, not to beat on the whole low expectations thing in Transformers, is I did laugh at what I thought were smart and funny lines, and a lot of these blockbusters are not funny. They have no sense of humor. They take themselves way too seriously.
Stone-faced the whole time. Like, I saw Transformers 1 and 2 because they were work trips, and it was during work hours, and they paid, so it's like, I guess it beats
where do you
working.
Work?
Right? This is every year.
He works for Michael Bay.
They take all the developers out for, you know, like a movie, and they let the developers
vote. Oh, and it's always a bad movie.
Well, they let the developers vote on the movies, and developers at our company apparently have
That's why I saw Lost in Space, which was also atrocious, because it was a work trip, and they're like, let's go see this terrible movie.
You figure it beats working, you sit in air conditioning on a comfortable chair. But those movies, just not even a smile across my face. Like, it's just...
Those are truly terrible.
And, you know, I chuckled my way through the Avengers, and That's one of the reasons I actually went to see it, because normally I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see that in the theater, and then the reviews come out, and I'm like, oh, forget it. Well, this one, the reviews came out, and I'm like, yeah, I'm actually still going to go, because people are saying they go to the movie and it's funny. And you know, and that's what I think you can do with the Joss Whedon movie.
I enjoyed both of the scenes where we get the usual Loki, like, you know, doing the monologuing, right? Only to get abruptly either shot in the chest by Coulson or smashed around by the Hulk. I mean, you know, I like that moment of the undercutting.
Yeah, it's Joss Whedon's bag of tricks, and he deployed it.
That's so defeating. I mean, if this whole movie had not one real villain in it that made me think that anybody was in any real peril. I loved the Loki from the first like 1/5 or 2/5 of the movie, where he was just sinister and willing to kill 80 people and destroy an entire complex just to get the one thing he wanted. That was pretty awesome. But then, of course, you have to say, oh, wait, no, we're turning the paradigm on its head because we're too cool to actually think that some guy who dresses like Loki could be a dangerous guy. Like, thank you. Well avoided. You almost had some actual dramatic tension there, Joss. Thank God you found it and extracted it, or else I'd be entertained right now.
See, you're angry.
No, not angry. I'm being sarcastic.
Rage!
Yeah, I don't know.
It's no White Christmas.
Well,
actually, okay, Christmas with the Avengers. That's what I want for the sequel.
Yeah, they cut the scene with Robert Downey Jr. in blackface. Thank God.
I'm angrier about White Christmas than I was about the Avengers. But I think, as I've told Andy before, the way he feels about White Christmas is how I find myself feeling about all old movies. And I know Andy doesn't share that opinion because he loves many old movies. But
all old movies.
All those weird complaints, I find myself saying, like, this doesn't make any. What the heck is going? You know. And then sometimes,
Andy is
able to see past that, and like, you know. And his explaining the extra special things that he sees wrong with White Christmas make me hate White Christmas even more. Like, with the reusing the sets and the using the gray stuff from the black and white movies, I'm like, now I hate it even more.
Listener Jose Munoz from Twitter says that it was indeed the shawarma scene that was shot, and it was shot the night of the premiere. So they had them together for the premiere, and they shot that scene where they're all tired and eating silently.
I did like that. Wait a minute. When else are we going to have all of our lead actors in the same city on the same night? Well, let's just have the Thor costume dry cleaned.
Well, I love that, the mundanity of it, right? You know, the Tony Stark line, which is like, hey, I'm going to get some shawarma. I don't even know what it is, but I'm going to go get some when we're done with this. It's like, that was kind of funny of the mundane, you know, hey, when this is all over, you want to get something to eat? And then to see them, you know, stuffing their faces silently, and they're all like half out of their costumes and sweaty and tired.
This is why you can't skimp on the talent. You have to find a guy like Robert Downey Jr. and pay him whatever he needs to get paid to do this movie. And when you hear about how they've been lowballing like the other actors to say, well, we counted the number of script pages in Iron Man 2, and your character has fewer pages than we thought, so we thought we'd give you $30,000, Don. And so that's why Don Cheadle is now playing that role instead of the guy who played him in Iron Man 1.
Yeah. Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard. Yeah, it's Downey. I had this argument. Well, it wasn't really an argument. It was like best comic book movie casting ever. And I feel like it's either, we might have even mentioned this on a previous podcast, I feel like it's either J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson or it's Downey as Iron Man. Because, I mean, Downey is great, and it's a perfect fit for the role. And early in this movie, I actually feel like that's what they're leaning on too, is everybody saw Iron Man, right? So it's like he's our in, right? You almost feel comfortable in the movie when the movie gets to Iron Man, because you're like, oh, okay, right, Iron Man, like he's the known quantity more than any of the others, which is funny because Iron Man was always such an obscure hero. But when you see Downey as Iron Man, you're like, oh yeah, okay, got
well,
it.
He brings a similar sort of sensibility to it that Batman does, right? In the sense of, he's just a dude. I mean, like, yeah, he's really smart and he's rich,
you know, dude.
Like, so is Batman, right? Like, it's the same idea. But like, you know, the point being, he's somewhat identifiable and he's vulnerable in a way that a lot of the other characters aren't. You know, he's this guy with this thing that's about, you know, constantly about to cut him in the heart, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think, and he's still kind of snarky and delightful at the same time.
Yeah, take away that iron suit and what have you got, really?
Billionaire.
Playboy.
Yeah.
See, like,
fair enough.
It's a low bar. I'll go to a movie if you've got one of those lines every, you know, third or fourth little. It's kind of like, I was thinking, is this a good match between Joss Whedon and the Avengers and another type of director. Like, is he the right kind of director? It's kind of like Kevin Smith in that you know what you're getting. Like, if you give Kevin Smith a movie, like, his strength is the silly, witty dialogue. And if your movie isn't about silly, witty dialogue, then maybe don't have Kevin Smith involved in it in any way.
If it's not the sort of movie that can be shot by a security camera or a camera that's locked onto a tripod for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
He has strengths.
And particular weaknesses. So Joss Whedon's strength is the funny, witty dialogue and the character interaction and ensembles. His strength is not particularly dramatic action, although I think he did a passable job of it here. It's not like serious drama and we know what his strengths are, and I think they're a reasonable fit for Avengers, because again, I don't think you can do you can't give Chris Nolan the Avengers. He will not, it won't be a good outcome, you know. You can't take this seriously. There is no serious way these characters with these backstories and these powers can be in the same universe and do something that actually makes sense.
Would you watch Chris Nolan's Hawkeye movie? Because, man, I might.
I don't like Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye and that whatever that girl and
Black Widow
Hawkeye should not be in this movie. I don't like anything about them.
If Chris Nolan just did a movie? Like, could you think you could be won over?
Chris Nolan's like Green Arrow.
Like actor. Well, who's that actor who played Hawkeye?
Jeremy
Renner. Like him.
Jeremy Renner, yeah.
I like Jeremy Renner.
I don't like Hawkeye. I didn't want them away from me.
All right.
I think Chris Nolan has that sort of credibility where I would definitely see it. Because I wouldn't necessarily think it was going to be a great movie, but I would figure that he has a good enough track record, he'd do something really cool with it. But I would always love to see DreamWorks or another company simply say that we have CGI, we have visual effects, we make every frame of this movie visual effects. Why are we bothering to shoot this live action when we can make every shot seamlessly it makes sense to have these colorful, to have some guy dressed like Captain America in a CGI universe. So why don't we just do it as animation start to finish, where anything can happen, where it costs us very much, not much more money to make our hero, our main villain Galactus, as opposed to, you know, the Salamander.
Well, you know, then you get the Incredibles, and that's actually not particularly easy to do either. But I think you're right.
Yeah, or you get the Final Fantasy movie.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it's hard to do an all CGI animated movie just for adults.
Because then you don't get to lean on Robert Downey Jr. Like, you get his voice, but you still need, like, the plot and the animators. Like,
Uncanny Valley Robert Downey Jr.
The Incredibles has a very high degree of difficulty in terms of, like, you're going to make a completely animated superhero movie and it's going to be awesome. You have to have just excellent writing, excellent story, great animation. Like, just so many ingredients have to be there. And sadly, when studios do fully animated movies, like, oh, and now we don't have to really pay that much for actors. They can just do voice stuff, and oh, we don't have to be that, and it just falls apart so quickly. And it's just,
well, that's the interesting thing, because there's sort of like a middle ground between those two. Because when you try to get like a big name brand actor, you're not going to pay him the $12 million he normally gets for a movie. But on the other hand, he doesn't have to commit what would amount to about a year and a half of his life, not only for the number of months it takes to film the movie, but the amount of time which he has to be sort of available and exclusive to this production. So that's why they tend to get some people they wouldn't get ordinarily. But you're absolutely right. But a lot of the problems that you're talking about are problems with any movie. You have to, as the Avengers proved, you have to have a good story before you shoot a frame of film, or else you're really just lost.
All right, it's almost midnight, but we've got some title suggestions, and I'm going to be like, since we're live on 5x5, I feel like I can pretend that this is like an After Dark, like the ones that are. It actually is After Dark. First, let's say that. Unlike all the other After Darks that are in the light of day, it is actually After Dark here.
It's pitch black where I am.
Well, that could be the eclipse, but
it's always dark somewhere.
Or my power
is five network is worldwide.
It's always dark somewhere. Nick Fury's Google Hangout got a lot of votes. Andy Smash, Syracuse Smash, Superhero Arms Race. What else do I think is good here? It wasn't Sex in the City 2. That's
fun. I have to endorse that one.
I wrote down I couldn't hear the shading, which was the poor John's poor wife. I'm always angry. Nick Fury's iPad, sure. What else? Hamburger ice cream. That was great. The life of Repo Man is always intense. Sure. He has a Gantt chart. I think that's the Nick Fury as project planner. I don't know. Nick Fury's got a Google Hangout. We'll see.
$3 clam special.
$3 clam special.
Oh man, that sounds. That our podcast is going to have the most unappetizing title ever.
Edging out hamburger ice cream.
Yeah, just barely.
Yeah, yeah,
just
I'm slightly. Suddenly really, really hungry.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Midnight. Eastern.
I turn into a pumpkin.
And I'm going to go watch
The Avengers.
Game of Thrones.
Go watch The Avengers.
I'm going to go watch the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones.
Yay!
That's what I'm going to do.
I've already exported to an audio file that is uploading to my Dropbox public folder as we speak.
All right, and thanks to everybody who, all eight people who are still left in the 5x5 live stream for yet another late night incomparable session. I'm going to press the button that turns off the thing. So thanks everybody from all of us, and now I'm going to turn off the thing. Bye.